were the high marks of calling. Sometimes rising, sometimes falling. I call Jesus Heavenly Father. He'll lead the way. Just Jesus.
Gracious Father in heaven, we are so blessed and privileged to be a part of the family of God. I would thank you, Lord, for the presence of all who are gathered, and we thank you, Lord, for the praises that have been given. Truly, in song, in the reading of your word, and the lifting you in prayer, and investing in the work of your cause and your kingdom. And Lord, what a privilege it is to be able, Lord, and trusted to declare your inspired, informed word. I recognize, Lord, my own unworthiness. And yet the love that you have transcends my unworthiness and made possible my salvation and empowered for my service. It is my prayer at this moment, dear Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will honor you and encourage and inspire and inform those who have open ears to hear. I would thank you, Lord, for all that has transpired prior to my standing. Praise has been given to you. And there is a sensitivity on the part of this audience to what you have to say. Thus I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight and beneficial to those who hear. And I pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, my Lord, and my Savior. Amen. Our text for today is Acts chapter 1. And I want to begin reading with verse 1. And I'm reading from the King James Version of Scripture, which reads, this passage written by Dr. Luke. And he says in the following verses, "The former treatise have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began to do, both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion for many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go to heaven." I want to talk today about this same Jesus. This same Jesus, who was wounded for our transgressions, wounded for our transgression, and with his stripes we are healed. This same Jesus that was despised and rejected of men. This same Jesus who had to be born in a stable. This same Jesus, as I said, was despised and rejected of men, came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, them gave he the power to become the sons of God. This same Jesus, who's was spat upon. This same Jesus that was beaten. This same Jesus who came to save the world. This same Jesus who was, as I said, despised and rejected of men. Can you imagine? The same Jesus who lived a perfect life. The same Jesus who loved even those who were not lovable. This same Jesus blessed those who cursed him. This same Jesus who paid our sin debt. The same Jesus, in the words written, that I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deep and stained within, sinking to rise no more. But this Master Jesus of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love. I'm talking about the greater love has nobody than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And can you imagine those that he despised were treated as friends? The same Jesus that my grandparents, who lived to be 100 years old, were blessed and cared for even in that time in history. This same Jesus that blessed my father and my mother, who were farmers who didn't get the benefits of their labors. This same Jesus promised that he would supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This same Jesus that went to a cross, was nailed to a cross with thorns upon his head, spat upon. The same Jesus. This same Jesus who declared that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. This same Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This same Jesus that they saw ascend into heaven promised that he's coming back again. This same Jesus that could never lie. This same Jesus who not only is the epitome of truth, but the power and the source of truth. The same Jesus. The same Jesus whose voice I heard saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The same Jesus that had been with me when I was up. The same Jesus that had been with me when I'm down. The same Jesus loved me so much to put faith and confidence in me to declare his word. The same Jesus reminded me that I will supply all of your needs. And praise God, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come, but look at me. It was by the grace of Almighty God that I've come this far. Yes, I come this far by faith, which means that I trust in Jesus. And I promise that the same Jesus had cast all of your cares upon me. You don't have to bear the burdens alone. Cast all of your cares upon him because he cares for you. And may I say, nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. My mother cared, my father cared, my wife cared, my children cared, but nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. He cared for me when I was up, cared for me when I was down, cared for me when I was right, cared for me when I was wrong. Forgave me when I sinned. Blessed me when I served. This same Jesus that I met when I was 9 years old, the same Jesus that has supplied my need, this same Jesus that had walked and talked with me all the days of my life, this same Jesus who gave me the opportunity and the privilege and the responsibility to represent me, him. When he said, let your light shine before men, that God, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Notice that good works. He didn't say perfect. Because I declare unto you, I've not been perfect. But God never has expected perfection. Because he recognized that we're human. And in the time he walked and talked and lived and served humanity and the way they responded, he knew that we'll never reach perfection. The same Jesus that has allowed me to lead and guide and preach and teach and serve along with other servants of God. The same Jesus who called me to be a preacher, the same Jesus trusted me and confided in me enough to give me this kind of assignment. And I want to assure you that I don't take it for granted. I want to also remind you that I didn't do it because I thought I was better than somebody else. I want to remind you that I've had failures, I've had successes, I've had trials, I've had tribulations, I've shed tears, I've cried sometime, and I've lied sometime. Oh, excuse me. What I'm really trying to say, I am not a perfect person, but I thank God that I'm a saved person. And I recognize that some of these days, one of these days, I'm going to behold his face again. Thank God for the privilege of being a part of the family of God. I rejoice when I can say I'm saved by his power divine and saved to new life sublime. And life now is sweet, but I want to tell you, it sure ought to be better one of these days, because he never made a promise that he doesn't keep. He said, I'm going away, Lord have mercy, but I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. I believe that with all of my heart. Do you believe that today? I tell you, we have something to rejoice about. You heard the senior saints. You heard the choirs. You heard the children. You heard the young adults. And you are hearing me right now. Can I get another witness? You've heard the call to worship. You've heard everything that has been said. There got to be some joy in this place. There got to be some joy in our hearts today. We have something to shout about. We have something to rejoice about. Why not give God glory? He's worthy of all the praise and honor that can be given to him. I wish I could sing. I'd sing a hymn. I don't know about a hymn. I sing a song, something, some glad morning. When this life is over, I'm going to fly away to a land where joy shall never end. No troubles, no trials, no pain, no sickness, no none of that. The same Jesus. Well, I want to look at the text. The same Jesus. Effective Christian service requires believing God's promises, appreciating his patience, and trusting in his promise. Believing, Lord have mercy, God's promises. God never made a promise that he hasn't fulfilled, and he never will. Lord have mercy, believing his promise, appreciating his patience, and trusting his promise. Otherwise, we cannot effectively advance his program. We cannot effectively advance his program. We cannot reach those that are lost. We cannot help those saved to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if we don't believe God's promises. I thank God for his promises. And I've stood on God's promises a long time. My God has promised to supply all of our needs. And I want to assure you that I was young, but now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. My grandpa and grandmother had nothing, but they never begged. You understand, my parents, though not, my father was not educated, wasn't smart like everybody else, but he took laboring seriously. And God supplied all of our needs, all 10 of us, 12 counting my mother and father. And I want to tell you that I was young, but now I'm old, but I have never ever in all of my days seen the righteous forsaken. I'm not talking about the fakers, I'm talking about the righteous forsaken. Lord have mercy, because God has promised to supply our needs, and I promise you he will do the same for any and every one of us. Lord have mercy. Otherwise, we cannot effectively advance his program. Therefore, Jesus appeared to his disciples to give infallible proof of his presence. Not only the infallible proof of his presence, but of his program and his power. They needed to understand all things pertaining to the kingdom. And you and I need to know the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We can't serve God if we don't have that knowledge. Things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And I recognize the fact that almost every one of us have prayed this prayer, thy kingdom come, and we don't try to find out what makes it come. You understand what I'm trying to say? And we don't really understand how blessed and how marvelous and how permanent it's going to be one of these days. And we just said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and won't even do his will. I'm trying to tell you that in order for us to do this, we have to understand all things pertaining to his kingdom. In verse 4 and 5, he explained to them that without the personal power of the Holy Spirit, they could not be enlightened or effective. I'm so glad that he says to them, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I remember being in the Baptist bookstore as a receiving clerk, and I was the one to open up the store early in the morning. And I walked in one day, even after I had accepted my call to preach. I wasn't being very effective, as it appeared to me. But I was led to a book, to a, two books on one of those tables. Two books by R.A. Torrey, The Holy Spirit, Who He Is, and What He Does. And I want to tell you, I read the book and I've never been the same. Because I tell you, without the power of the Holy Spirit, and we don't hear much about the Holy Spirit right now. We talk about Jesus and God, but we don't talk much about the Spirit of the living God. But he is the one that gives to us the power that we need. So being enlightened, as first of all to their members, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded. And these are the verses that I'm looking at. When they therefore, in verse 6, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power. But I like this part right here. Verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's the first part. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit takes his abode in you. We cannot do God's work because we are educated. We can't do God's work. We might be impressive, but we won't be effective. No matter how much we know, we have to have the power and person and the privileges of the Holy Spirit of the living God. The reason why there's so many rising and falling, they have not understood that we have to be empowered by the Spirit of the living God. Look what it says in this same verse, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And he's talking about the whole group of people that he was talking to. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. Samaria was the place that hated Jews, but you got to go there too. And unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, this is so important for us to understand. We have to, Lord have mercy, accept the information as to how we are to remember, things we are to remember. Then, as to their message, we cannot do what we do, the assignment that he gives to us, in our own strength. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God living within us. I'm going to say just a few more things, and I'm going to close. First of all, as to their memories. Secondly, as to their message. They were to preach the word of God, not with man's wisdom, but words spoken by the Holy Spirit of the living God. Not by man's wisdom. And I'm amazed today how we depend more on education than we do spiritual empowerment. Now, I'm not against education. I encourage those. But I tell you, nothing transcends in necessity more than our being filled with the Spirit of the living God. As to their movements, we depended upon the Holy Spirit to give leadership. When to go, where to go, and who should go. God has a plan and a purpose for everybody's life. I'm very much aware of how churches become vacant and how many people decide, I sure would like to be there, and send resumes. What I'm trying to tell you right now, God has a place, purpose, and plan for your life. Amen. Instead of searching here and searching there and trying to get here and trying to get there, what we ought to do is just trust God to put us where we need, he wants us to go, and when he wants us to go, and why he wants us to go. I'm not trying to brag or boast, but I've never applied for any position since I met Jesus. I won't try to tell you that. I am where I am right now because of a divine assignment. I was where I was before I got here because it was a divine assignment. I've done things that I thought I could not do because it was a divine assignment. I was able to succeed. I mean, we try like somebody working for a job. Working for a job ain't the same as working for Jesus. If you understand what I'm trying to say, but if we are on a job, we ought to serve him in spirit, in truth, and justice. They needed the Holy Spirit not only to do what I just made mention of, but they needed the Spirit also to energize them. I think that's very, very important. In order to preach the word of God the way that it's supposed to do. In order for us to serve in the capacity where God has placed us, none of them or us, regardless of our education, sing a message that will convert, convict, or convert. It doesn't matter how smart we are, how well it is. You may move people from their seats. But I tell you, except the power of the Holy Spirit is being received by them or any of us, we may join church. We may be impressive. But I'm trying to tell you, let me say that again. We are to preach with power. None of them or us, regardless of our education, can say or do anything that will convict or convert somebody that's lost. Or if we just knew that. We try all little plans and all kind of things trying to get the church to grow. But I tell you, when you're in the power of the Holy Spirit and he's speaking through you, Lord have mercy, and saying what needs to be said through you, and you're ready to give him the glory for the effects, I can assure you churches will grow, people will grow, people will behave better, people will serve better. It has to be done according to God's plan. We cannot do what God wants us to do in our own wisdom, knowledge, experience, or whatever you want to know. It's done by the grace of God and the power of God, by the Spirit of the living God. Lord have mercy. No soul will ever be saved by anything that we say in our own strength, anything that we sing, anything that we show. Unless the Holy Spirit energizes us. There are those who say to me all the time that I ought to slow down, but they don't recognize that I'm spirit energized. Oh, yeah, I tell you, I recognize my age, I recognize all else, but I would not be able to stand here if I wasn't energized by the Spirit of God and informed by the Word of God. You know what I'm really trying to say? This is what it takes to be who God wants us to be, and this is what it takes to get done what God would have being done. I'm not going to hold you long. And then they needed the Holy Spirit to encourage them. When they were lonely, Lord have mercy. You have His promise that I will never leave you or forsake you. Aren't you glad about that? When I'm up, He's there. When I'm down, He's there. When I'm weak, He's there. When I'm strong, He's there. When I'm right, He's there. When I'm wrong, He's there. I will never, ever leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Have you ever been forsaken by somebody that promised to be with you forever? You understand what I'm trying to say? People walk away from you, but I tell you, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I tell you, I've been in this thing a long time, and He's always been with me. I'm about to close this message. When they were lonely, He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. What about when you were hated or despised? I will never leave you. You don't have to handle the hatred, and you don't have to handle being despised. God said, I will take care of you. And I promise you, He still has the power. He has the wisdom. He has the ability to turn things around in your life. I've been talked about, lied on, mistreated, disliked, hated, despised, you name it. But I tell you what, here I am by the grace of Almighty God. And there have been those that hated me, and I had to do their funeral. Can I get a witness? In the house of God, there have been those that wanted whatever I had. You know what I'm really trying to say. But by the grace of God, I have retained what God has given to me. I'm about to go to my seat, but I'm so glad this morning that I can say I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest, lie down, thy weary one, lie down your head upon my breast. You know what I'm getting ready to say? And I came to Jesus just 9 years old. I came to Jesus just as I was. Didn't know much, couldn't do much, didn't have much, but I came to Jesus, not when I got myself in shape, but I came just exactly like I was. And that's what I try to tell folk all the time. Don't be making excuses. I don't have this. I can't sing. I can't preach. Come to Jesus, and ain't no telling what you're going to do, because He's able to enable you to do whatever He would have you to do. I'm so glad that I can say in the language of the song, I came to Jesus just like I was. Weary, worn, and sad, but I just keep on finding in Him a resting place, and He just keeps on making me glad. Can't you tell I'm glad? I rejoice in the Lord. He's everything to me. He's my power when I'm weak. He's my joy in sorrow. He's my friend in times of need. He supplies all of my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm going to sit down. I think I may have said enough, but I thank God today that I know Him. Don't you know, I wish everybody knew Him. He's still in the saving business. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But I got to tell you this, it requires a yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. I'm not finished with this yet. Next week I'm going to give you some more about this same Jesus. And I want to say this part. He is the same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. People will change on you, but He remains the same. Friends will change when you say something they don't like or do something better than they do. But this same Jesus will never, ever leave you. When you're right, when you're wrong, when you're sick, when you're well, when you have money or when you're broke, this same Jesus will never, ever I better quit. I better start it again. This same Jesus. This same Jesus. I promise you, people will change on you, turn against you, lie on you, be jealous of you. But I don't worry about it too much. Because this same Jesus never changes. This same Jesus said then, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Lord, can you just imagine somebody born in a stable going to prepare you and me and every believer a mansion? I've got a mansion just over in glory. If you're a child of God, you got a mansion reserved for you, where there will be no robberies, no thefts, no jealousy, no competition, but it's got to be this same Jesus. That save me will save everyone that put their faith and confidence in him. Stand with me. If you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, this is the time. Don't let opportunities pass you by. If you're here without Christ in your life, you should not leave. Do you not know that you don't know what's waiting out there? We don't know what we'll face tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen in our world. This may be the last opportunity. Michael was telling me about a man who passed away just a few minutes after his witness. He prayed the sinner's prayer. Destined for a place called hell. And because of a witness, just moments before he died, he accepted Jesus Christ. I want to try to tell you, this is not a game. It's not a gimmick. If you and I don't care, who will care? If we don't let folk know that God so loved the world, I hear us talk about the shape of the world. There's nobody in this world that God doesn't love. So loved the world, everybody, no matter what they look like, what they have, he loved everybody. And he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I declare unto you, the greatest decision to make when the Spirit of God speaks to you, you ought to respond. And the invitation is open, not to embarrass, but to empower and encourage. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. If you don't have it all right, get it right. We don't know the day or the hour when the Son of Man shall come, but I tell you one thing, he said, I'm coming back. And he also said to us, be also ready, because you don't know the day, nor do you know the hour. Are you really listening? Great invitation, great privilege. He will never mislead you. Another verse. One more verse. Wherever he leads. That's what we all need to do. Instruments continue playing. They are coming. Continue playing. The next verse says, he will give you grace and glory. If you've not made your decision right now, don't let the opportunity pass you by. I promise you, his grace is sufficient. And where things have been dull and disappointing, he'll give you grace and glory. He'll give you things to rejoice about. Not occasionally, but you can wake every day and recognize that this is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Instruments are playing, and in a moment we want to sing that last verse, but don't let this opportunity pass you by. I'm not going to try to persuade, but I don't want the enemy to dissuade. It's a choice that you have to make, and never should allow anyone to disappoint you to the point that you won't make it. Father, they are gathered and gathering. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for all the praises that have been given to you. We thank you, Lord, for those whose hearts have been touched one way or another. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your presence and all that it means to us, Lord, to be able to give you praise and honor and glory. This is indeed our prayer. In Jesus' name, the last verse. I promise you he'll do that instrument, just keep playing. He never makes a promise that he won't follow through with. You may be seated for a moment. A letter I want to read from Oneida Baptist Institute. Dear Reverend Bingham and congregation, I want to thank you for your church and your church for allowing the choir and me to come. We're grateful for the opportunity to share a little about the Oneida ministry. You and your church were very kind to us. I hope we were able to provide you and your church with a better understanding of Oneida and the ministry we provide. I'm sure you are aware that we could not do the many things we do without the support of Kentucky Baptist and so many individual churches. We count it a joy to be able to have you share in this ministry. You are partners with us in all that we do. Thank you for the wonderful meal. I'm sure you notice our young people are not shy about devouring their favorite foods. Please express our appreciation to your church for the kindness they showed us. Please keep Oneida in your prayers as we keep you in ours. May the Lord richly bless both our ministries as we strive to reach people for the Lord. Your servant in Christ, Larry A. Gritton, Jr. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here today. And I pray as we depart this place, we'll be conscious of your presence and recognize the power that you have to give to us to live the Christian life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and thank you.